I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. I welcome my colleague Russell Berman, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. He is a professor of humanities at Stanford University. Most importantly, he served on the Commission on Unalienable Rights. Unalienable Rights. That was sponsored and driven by the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, at the State Department. Writing most recently at the National Interest, Russell brings our attention to the work of this commission and also the new Secretary of State, who is at this point speaking in an ambiguous fashion about its successes. Russell, a very good evening to you. We must immediately apply ourselves to definition. What is an unalienable right that you served the commission to extend and guarantee? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Happy to speak with you. Well, the term unalienable right is, of course, borrowed from the United States Declaration of Independence, the assumption that there are certain rights that all humans have a claim to simply by virtue of their being human. They are therefore unalienable. These are rights that are not granted by states. States are there to protect these rights, but we have these rights prior to any granting by the state. That is to say, the state can't take them away either.
The unalienable rights don't describe everything in your piece in National Interest, and it's of great concern of mine. I want to be very specific here because the new Secretary of State is, in his own way, using language carefully. What is a derogable right and what is a non-derogable right? These two distinctions.
Okay. The issue is that Secretary Blinken took, I think, a snarky potshot at the commission, even though his own position overlaps with it significantly. In particular, he attributed to the commission the notion that it calls for a hierarchy of rights, some rights more important than others, and the United States government could ignore some at the bottom of the hierarchy. The commission says nothing of the sort. The commission says that all rights are interdependent, and the United States government has an obligation to fulfill all of its obligations to protect rights, to defend rights. The notion that there is no hierarchy of rights runs up to against the problem that in international law and the human rights community, in fact, a distinction is made between those rights for which there can be never any exceptions and those rights which one could in emergency situations suspend. For example, there are no circumstances under which genocide is permissible. There is no circumstance under which torture is permissible. However, in the course of this pandemic, we have learned that it is permissible to suspend freedom of assembly or freedom of travel or freedom to gather for worship. Whether those suspensions of those rights contributed to fighting against the pandemic, that's something you should talk to a medical expert about. But the point is that a non-derogable right is protection from genocide. A derogable right is one in which we're in a case of emergency, it is reasonable to have it suspended.
Let's use examples here. Teach by example. The Uyghur genocide. So that was the name used by Mr. Pompeo, and I believe Mr. Blinken embrace that word when it comes to the Uyghurs, the persecution of the Muslim people of Xinjiang, East Turkestan, by the Chinese state. What kind of right is that? How do we understand their rights for prosperity and happiness?
That this is undeniably an absolute violation of human rights when the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party, carries out genocidal policies against, well, any population, and here we're talking about the Uyghurs in northwest China. There's no excuse for this. This is an absolute violation of human rights. Protection from genocide is non-derogable.
All right, that's very clear. Now we wander into the gray zones. That's why we pay the big bucks to you foreign policy writers. All right, here we go. The murder of the journalist Khashoggi and in Istanbul by agents of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. What kind of right is that? How does Mr. Blinken see it? How did Mr. Pompeo see it?
Both Blinken and Pompeo, both the current administration, the previous administration, condemned the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist who was killed in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. This is a violation of his his right against torture, his right against extrajudicial killing, his right, and of course it was a violation of the freedom of the press, but that's one on the long list of violations that are involved in this particular case.
However, there's a big however here, and I want to explore it with you. The however is that the explanation for the murder and the team that murdered disappeared into the fog of diplomacy. That was true for the Trump administration. That's true for the Biden administration. How is that to be resolved, or is it just time, Russell, that we'll look for the history books to resolve it?
No, both administrations condemned individuals associated with the killing. The Biden administration has made it clear that it accepts the interpretation of the American intelligence community that it was not only underlings who participated, but that at the end of the day, the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, was implicated in this. The issue is, however, that the State Department has decided to sanction 75, I believe, underlings associated with the killing, and presumably rightly so, but they have not sanctioned MBS. Now, I think it's wise for them not to do that because they're making a pragmatic decision that they have to continue to interact with the Saudi government, of which he is a key member. The point is that our diplomats, our government, has to balance a commitment to human rights with other aspects of national interest, and that is pursuit of national security. One piece of that is our partnership with Saudi Arabia.
And therein lies the puzzle. It would appear that Mr. Blinken, while acknowledging that balance, is ready to speak against the Commission on Unalienable Rights by Mr. Pompeo. I'm not clear why he does that. You have to balance. Can you help me understand why you say he made a snarky remark, but it seems he's deriding an achievement of his predecessor.
He's deriding an achievement of his predecessor, and an achievement to which he, in fact, imitates, if you will. The State Department has condemned the killing of Khashoggi. The State Department has sanctioned individuals involved in the killing. The United States government has pointed a figure at the Saudi crown prince and has not sanctioned him for pragmatic reasons.
Right.
In his statement, Secretary Blinken suggests that pragmatism never matters. That's wrong.
Never matters. Well, then let's apply ourselves to the pending Iran deal. We just have a minute here. What should we watch for, Russell, in this confusion of definitions and this understanding that Mr. Blinken brings to the office to make a distinction with Mr. Pompeo? What are you watching for as we're told that there are back-channel negotiations or informal conversations about reawakening the JCPOA? We have about a minute.
Well, one point is that there was also a Iranian journalist who was murdered by the Iranian regime, and the State Department condemned that, but there has been no sanctioning. Just as there's sanctioning up the chain in Saudi, there has been no sanctioning in Iran, because on this and on so many issues, the State Department pulls its puncheons vis-a-vis Iran because it's angling for a deal. It'll probably be a bad deal, because this administration, like its predecessor, continues to advertise that it will do anything in order to get a deal. That's no way to run a business.
Russell Berman is a member of the Hoover Institution. Most importantly, he teaches humanities at Stanford University. He served on the Trump administration's commission, on Mr. Pompeo's commission, on unalienable rights. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.